Majestic Academy's J. Michael Edwards back with you for the final time of this series. I'm sad about that. We have had a wonderful journey through this magnificent book together. I hope you have enjoyed this study and learned much from it. Majestic Academy was created to teach excellence in a world full of mediocrity. The world today is set on simply going along to get along. We believe God expects more and are committed to meeting His expectations. This concludes this study, but Pastor Don has many more planned, so keep your cell phones and iPads at the ready. Let's step back into the classroom as Pastor Don teaches this final lesson entitled, The Conclusion of the Book.
Well, friends, we have come to what is known as the conclusion of the book. It's been an adventure, and I'm glad you've taken it with us here in the Majestic Academy. I know there's some that have stuck with it all the way through, and I hope that you've learned from it. I hope it's helped you understand the end times, what these symbols mean. I hope you understand, again, this is a literal interpretation, verse by verse, literal interpretation of the book of the Revelation. Yes, there are symbols that John used because he didn't know the language of the day, like, again, giant locusts. Are those giant locusts possibly Apache helicopters? We don't know that, but John could not describe things in the same language we use today. Those words have been changed over and over and over and over again. But this has been a literal expose, verse by verse, of the book of the Revelation. And so we're going to read these final verses. And again, thank you so much for hanging in there. And I know I've stumbled a few times. It's been a lot of words, and my mouth isn't used to all these words. I don't know how long we've been together. I know it's more than a year. I was hoping to finish it by the end of 2021, but things just got crazy, and I didn't make it, obviously. But here we are. We're into February, and we're going to read Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit saith to the bride, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you for helping me get through it. Open our hearts now to this final chapter. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our study of the book, the Revelation, has taken us from the days of the early church in the past all the way into eternity in the future. John has been faithfully fulfilling the divine purpose he shared in the first of the book, the first verse of the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's Revelation 1:1. John has been used of the Lord to reveal to God's people God's plan for the future. We have seen the words of Revelation 1:19, where it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Fulfilled, we have seen these fulfilled in the pages of this fantastic book. The Lord has shown us how the church age will end. It will end with the church in apostasy, cold and dead, with Jesus on the outside. And we are, I might say, that we're steadily moving in that direction. But you know what, my friends? If it were up to me, I would say we are there. The apostate church is here. Churches today are cold and dead. Jesus has been kicked out. His name is not mentioned in the churches, so many today. He has shown us what will follow after the church is removed from the world. There will be a terrible tribulation period that will engulf the world. Billions will die from war, disease, and the tragedy of divine judgment. This age will also end with the Antichrist and Satan judged and sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire. We have even been given a glimpse of our own future. We have seen a place called heaven where death and disease and sin and Satan will be prohibited. We have been given a small foretaste of that wonderful place we will call home someday. In our text today, we have arrived at the end of the book. The verses we have read today serve as the Lord's conclusion to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So, let's move through these verses together and bring to a close our study of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. As the Lord closes out this book, he has a few final statements to make. Let's examine these statements and try to look at the conclusion of the book. In verse 6, we see the scriptures are accurate. John is assured that everything he has seen is both faithful and true. There has not been a single exaggeration, nor has there been a single falsehood. Every prophecy made in this book will come to pass in the Lord's time. One of the names given to Jesus in the book of Revelation is Faithful and True. That name declares him to be trustworthy and worthy of faith. The Lord can be trusted. When he makes a statement, it is truth. When he makes a promise, it will come to pass. When he issues a prophecy, it will be fulfilled. God has tied the truth of his scriptures to the integrity of his name. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all names. You can believe the words of the Bible. You can believe it. It's truth. We used to say, yep, it's Bible. Well, you can believe the words of your Bible. When God speaks, he speaks the truth. Every word in this book is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, you can trust your old King James Bible. In verses 7 through 9, we see that the scriptures are authoritative. with a statement, "Behold, I come quickly," the Lord declares his authority. Man can say what he wishes about the Bible and about God's promises and about the prophecies, but God will have the final say. The Lord also reaffirms his promise to bless those who keepeth the words of the revelation. That word has the idea of guarding, protecting, and attending to it carefully. The Lord will bless people who read, believe, and live out the words of this book. That was his promise at the beginning, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And it is his promise even at the end. The Bible was not given to us so that we would have something to lay on the coffee table, or on the rear deck of the car, or on the anything. The Bible was given to us to read, believe, and live out. The Word of God has the authority over our lives, and we need to heed its word. John 14:5, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, I've quoted that verse hundreds of times over the years. It's so simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love the Lord. Do you keep his commandments? Well, most of them. James 1:22 and 23, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." When John hears the promises of God given to him through the angel, he gets caught up in the moment and he falls down to worship the angel. The angel rebukes John, reminding him that he is a servant too. When John is given advice, then John is given advice that we all need to hear. He is told to worship God. God and God alone is worthy and deserving of our worship. It is easy to become like the world and become guilty of worshiping this person or that thing. The only person who is worthy to be worshiped is the Lord God Almighty. Matthew 4:8-10, Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." In Deuteronomy 10:20, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name." We see that the scriptures are accessible. John is commanded to seal not the book he has written. The word seal means to conceal or to keep secret. Many years earlier, the prophet Daniel was commanded to seal up a book he had written. Daniel 12:4 said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even of the time at the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." The time for the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy had not arrived, and it was not time to share it with the world. John, on the other hand, is not to hide these things away and keep them secret. He is to publish them so that the world may hear the news that Jesus is coming and judgment is about to fall on this world. The Bible we hold in our hands is a living witness to the God of heaven. It reveals him in all his glory, reveals him in his power, it reveals him in his wrath. The Bible is not a closed book, but it is open, and its message is available to all who pick it up and read with an honest and obedient heart. If this book is closed, it is closed to those who refuse to know the Lord and to those who have been blinded by the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." One day, this book that is so hated by those who deny the Lord will be the standard of judgment. If I were you, I would read the book, and I would heed the book. After all, it is the word of God, and will stand for all eternity. And just once again, when I say the book, when I say the Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Not the King James Version, my friend. Don't say KJV. It's the KJB. It's the King James Bible. It is not a version. It is the Bible. Anyway, I'll get off that hobby horse. I'll say it again and again. And then we see the word about the Savior. You see, the word about his advent. Again, we have the Lord's promise that he is coming again. That was his promise before he left the world. John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. That is his promise now, and he is coming. We know that the Lord's return will happen in two stages. First, he will return in the clouds above the earth to claim his redeemed bride and take her home to heaven. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. Then he will return in power and glory to claim this earth for himself. He will defeat all his enemies and establish his kingdom and rule in righteousness in this world. For the saints of God, the thought of our Lord's return offers peace and hope. Just the thought of what we might be able to, that we might be able to cheat death and leave here in the rapture, that's that first return. It's the rapture. That's a wonderful thought. It is no wonder that John prayed for the Lord to come. Every child of God who loves the Lord and believes the Bible is looking forward to leaving this world in the rapture. We see the word about his awards. According to verse 12, the return of Jesus will be a mixed blessing. He is going to reward every man according to his works. That is, those who have received him as their Savior will enjoy a time of blessing when he returns. He will reward them for their works and bless them for their service. Many faithful saints of God will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. What a day. What a day that will be. Again, my song. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Wow, what a day. I'm looking forward to that time. I'm looking forward to meeting my Lord. I'm looking forward to standing before him. I want to meet him. I want to be face to face with him. I want to work that I might have some rewards, some crowns to lay at his feet. That's what keeps me motivated. It should keep you motivated. What keeps you going forward day after day after day? I hope you're looking forward to meeting Jesus at that judgment seat of Christ. What a day that will be. However, those who do not know Jesus will discover that the day of his return will spell their eternal doom. That is what he means in verse 11. When Jesus returns to this world, there will be no time to get ready. When he comes, how he finds the soul is how that soul will remain throughout eternity. If I were you, I would be sure that I was saved and ready to meet Jesus when he comes. Just as another visual, imagine, even though Noah preached for 120 years, he preached that the flood was coming, those people didn't get ready. Those folks did not get ready to get on that ark. They laughed at him. They mocked him. But then the rain started, and that door was closed by the hand of God, and it was too late. There was no time for them any longer to get ready. And once the rapture happens, my friend, there will be no time. There will be no chance. I've said this I don't know how many times throughout these 49 episodes. You will not have a chance to get saved on the other side. You will not. Don't listen. Don't read those words in these books like... I forget the name of that book now. Left Behind. Left Behind. I had a bit of a brain fade there. It happens to me a lot at my age, and I get confused. Anyway, Don't listen to things like that, Left Behind. That's a good novel, good read. I read all those books, every one of them, from the beginning to the end. But the one thing that was terrible was they gave a lot of people a false hope that if they didn't get saved on this side, it's okay, you can get saved on the other side. That's a lie of the devil. Now, where was I? He pronounces a blessing on those who obey the gospel in verse 14. He pronounces a curse on those who reject the gospel in verse 15. Those who receive him will enjoy the blessings of heaven and of everlasting life in verse 14, while those who choose sin over a relationship with Jesus will be shut out of heaven, verse 15. The question you need to consider today is this: where would you be if Jesus was to return today? Where would you be? Are you saved? Are you ready to meet him? Has your soul been made fit for heaven by the blood of the Lamb? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? My friends, Jesus is coming. For some, it will be a time of rejoicing. For many more, it will be a time of horrible rejection and tribulation. Then, he speaks of a word about his authority. In verses 13 and 16, Jesus declares his ability to make these statements and to bring them to pass. He reminds us that he was here when everything began and that he will still be here when all things wind up. He reminds us that he is King of Kings in verse 16. He is the root of David. That is, he is David's ancestor. He is the offspring of David too. He is David's descendant. Jesus is the ultimate authority. He founded the throne and he will occupy the throne. He is the bright and morning star. To be called a star in that culture was to be elevated. The morning star signaled the advent of a new day. Jesus is reminding us that he, who was greater than all, will return to destroy the darkness of this world forever. The light of his glory will fill both heaven and earth when he comes again. Jesus can make the promises he made because he has the power and the authority to bring them to pass. He is coming, and he will rule and reign in righteousness and power someday. So we looked at a concluding word about the scriptures. We looked at a concluding word about the Savior. Now we see a concluding word about the Spirit. There is an appeal to appear. In verse 17, here we find the Spirit and the bride inviting the Lord to come. The Spirit of God desires nothing more than the glory of the Son and of God. John 16:14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God longs for the Savior to return so that he might defeat his enemies and occupy his rightful place on the throne of the universe. The Spirit desires the glory of the Son of God. Therefore, the Spirit says, come. The Bride of Christ echoes the invitation of the Spirit. There is a longing in the heart of the redeemed for the advent of the Redeemer. How many here can identify with that desire? There are times when the burdens of life press us down and we long for Jesus to come. There are times when sin and Satan harass us and they seem so strong. And we long for Jesus to come. There are times when this world seems like a foreign place, and we long for Jesus to return. Well, folks, hang on a little longer. Hang on a little longer, sweet bride of Christ. Your Redeemer is coming again to take you unto himself. It'll seem like just a fleeting moment, and Jesus will come again. Then in the last half of verse 17, there is an appeal to accept. Here on the last pages of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, the Spirit of God offers one last invitation for lost sinners to come to Jesus for salvation. Anyone who sees their need of a Savior and understands that Jesus Christ can save their soul can be saved. They can drink of the water of life and pass from death unto life in John 5:24. Even as the Lord brings things to a close, people are still being invited to come to him for their soul's salvation. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, let me invite you again and again and again to come to Jesus and trust him to save your soul. If you will come to him, he will save you and prepare you for an eternity in heaven. Then there is an admonition to avoid. People are warned not to tamper with the words of this book. The Lord pronounces a curse on those who would add or take away from the words of the Bible. This is not a new warning, but it is a warning that runs like a thread through the pages of Scripture. Deuteronomy 4:2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Deuteronomy 12:32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. In fact, the warning given is twofold. Men are warned not to add to the Bible. The Bible is a complete book. When the Bible was finished, the revelation of God to man was brought to an end. There are no more new revelations being given today. Every person who stands up and claims to have a new word from the Lord is guilty of adding to the word of God. They are bringing the threat of divine judgment upon themselves. One of the hallmarks of the charismatic movement has been the inclusion of new revelation. Someone will stand in a service and claim to have a word from God. Tell you folks, that is dangerous and it's heresy. We have all the words from God that we will ever have right here in our Bible. These verses also let me know that every book written by man that claims to be scripture is a lie of the devil. The Book of Mormon, the writings of Mary Baker Patterson Glover, Eddie, why would somebody have six names? Or is that five? The founder of Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor scientific. The so-called lost books of the Bible are all attempts by Satan to undermine our faith in the Word of God. Those who add to the Word of God will face divine vengeance and judgment. God does not want his Word to be tampered with. And then many are warned not to subtract from the Bible. Many people are guilty of picking and choosing what they want from the Word of God. They may not be adding to the Bible, but they're guilty of subtracting from its words. Far too many are guilty of diluting the message of God. They deny its truth, water down its doctrines, and ignore the warnings. They too will face divine judgments. Many years ago, J.A. Sice, in his commentary on Revelation, said, "Oh, my friends, it is a fearful thing to suppress or stultify the Word of God and above all the words of the prophecy of this book. To put forth for truth what is not the truth, denounce as error, condemn, repudiate, or emasculate what God himself hath set in his seal to as his mind and purpose is one of those high crimes, not only against God, but against the souls of men which cannot go unpunished. God does not take it lightly when people tamper with his word, and neither should we. I take this matter of handling the word of God very serious. I do not want to add to it or take away from it. I want to present it just as it is given to us in the pages of the Bible. I want to preach it clear and straight. If it makes folks mad, well, so be it. I would rather offend you and others as I preach the truth than offend God by diluting and changing the truth. Let every preacher of the gospel, every Sunday school teacher, everyone who leads in the devotion, take heed to how you handle the Word of God. It deserves our best effort. We should study it. We should meditate over it. We should present it in the power of the Spirit. If you lack that power, prostrate yourself before the Lord until he gives you that power. When you have found the meaning of his word, then stand forth and proclaim it in the authority of the Spirit, being careful not to add to it and not to take away from its divine message. And so, in the conclusion of the conclusion, Jesus wants you to know that he is coming again. coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe, and maybe soon. Anyway, he is coming to put down evil and raise up his kingdom. He wants you to be ready to meet him when he does come. Are you ready to meet him? If you are not ready, you can be. Come to Jesus today, and he will save your soul and make you ready for heaven. If you are ready, then you should come to him and praise him for his grace in saving you from your sins and from hell. Let me just give you the plan of salvation one more time. Maybe you've not been able to take notes. Maybe you're born again and you've never led someone to Christ. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to obey God. You need to go out and preach the gospel. Yes, preaching the gospel is simply telling people about Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Anyone can preach the gospel. It's not just meant for those in the pastor's role. Yes, there's pastors, but anybody. Go ye therefore is not written to pastors. It's written to everyone, every Christian. Jesus is writing to Christians. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore. But let me just give you this. First of all, people need to admit they're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We're all sinners. We have a sin nature. Our spirit is dead because of sin. And we cannot get to God because of our sin. There's a great wall between God and sinners, God and the lost. There's a great wall fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. And then we must understand that God loves us. God, even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commends his love towards us. God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A literal death. Then we must believe that he rose again. After those 3 days, we must believe. So we must admit we're sinners. Then we must believe that Jesus Christ is who he says. We must believe he died and rose again for us personally, not a corporate salvation. It is a personal salvation. The Bible says for those that if we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Then we need to call on him. We need to call on him. For with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. I'm sorry, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, we ask Christ into our life. With our mouth, confession is made, but with our heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You must move it from your head to your heart. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but not enough have asked him into their hearts. And then Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means whosoever. Will you call on him? Say a little prayer. Doesn't take a bunch of words. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I ask you into my heart to be the Lord of my life and take me to heaven when I die. But you've got to mean that. You've got to believe that in your heart. It's a heart thing. When we become born again, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. When we ask Christ into our heart, we become a reborn person. We are born again. The Holy Spirit comes in and makes us brand new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we become reborn, spiritually speaking. The Holy Spirit comes in and kicks the devil out. And our dead spirit is made alive. Praise God. Share this with your friends, would you? This is serious. I've enjoyed doing this. I know it's taken me a long time, and I apologize for that. I've just got so much going on. And it's just the way it is. I'm 72 years old, and I'm just getting started. I just took over the pastorate of a church here, a great church here, in Selah, Washington. And I'm just getting going. And I hope you will not let your age, not let your gender, not let anything about you stop you from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be bold. Share the gospel. Don't let the devil get you down. Get out there and share this. Tell your friends about this series. Not because of me. I'm not getting anything out of this other than I believe God will bless me for doing this. Actually, I know He is. He is blessing me for doing this. God is blessing me greatly. And I believe one of the reasons is my commitment to these lessons, going through the entire book of the Revelation, verse by verse. I've just enjoyed doing it. I've taught this to my church that's up in Calgary twice. In the 5 years I was a pastor there, I've taught it down in the Walla Walla Penitentiary, the state penitentiary here in Washington State. I've taught it there. Boy, I had the men's hooping and hollering. Took me a year to do it down there. I just enjoy doing it. Would you share it with your friends? Share the truths of this with your friends. Folks, this old world is winding down. The Lord is coming. Literally, the Lord is coming. These are exciting days to be alive. You look around what's going on. Look around the Middle East. Look around as I speak this today. Russia is about to invade Ukraine. It may have already happened when you hear this. Watch Israel. Watch what's going on in Iran. Watch what's going on in our own country here in America. It's never been like this ever again. And my friend, Jesus is coming again. I'm glad that I know Him and that I am ready to go. And I hope you will join me. Until we see each other in heaven, keep looking up and listening for the shout.
J. Michael here. There isn't much more to say other than keep looking up and listening for the shout. Jesus is coming again.